It is time for the Warren County Radio Bible School, and I'm glad to ring that bell today because in our last class session, we left a statement in the Sunday school lesson that troubled me. We read that while Mary wept, she stooped and looked through her tears into the empty tomb, but without hope. Now, that's where our time ran out. I really hated to leave the lesson at that time because there is hope, and what is going to happen next is glorious. Mary Magdalene in the Garden of Gethsemane is going to be the first to see Jesus risen from the dead. You might want to turn in your Bible to John chapter 20 and around verse 11 and 12 and 13, and that's where we'll be studying about this event where Mary Magdalene sees Jesus risen from the dead. While you're turning to John chapter 20, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Loman Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school, and we're studying today a Sunday school lesson. It is in a little book called Elam's Notes. It's written by E.A. Elam for the Sunday of August the 5th, 1923. Let me read to you now John 20 in verse 11, and then we'll return to Elam's Notes. John 20, 11 says, Mary was standing without at the tomb weeping. So, as she wept, she stooped and looked into the tomb. Elam says, having gone to Peter and John with the sad story of the removal of the body of Jesus, Mary Magdalene followed them back to the tomb, but more slowly, and remained to weep in sorrow when all the others had departed. And while she wept, she stooped and looked through her tears into the empty tomb, but without hope. But then she saw two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and one at the feet, where the body of Jesus was laying. Let me read that to you in John 20, 12 and 13. And she beholdeth two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they've taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. These are the angels seen by the other women while Mary had hurried back to tell Peter and John of the empty tomb, Luke 24 and verse 4. Matthew and Mark mention only one of the angels, doubtless the one who was the most prominent and who did the talking. It is frequently the case that one writer mentions only one of a number. In response to their question, Woman, why weepest thou? Mary Magdalene expressed a deep sorrow of her heart, saying, Because they've taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. She had no thought yet of his resurrection. As yet, her great remaining pleasure was to embalm his lifeless body. But then we read in John 20 and verse 14, When she had thus said, she turned herself back, and beholdeth Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Well, that's when she then doubtlessly turned back to go with the other women who were in advance of her. Evidently, she had not heard the declaration of the angel said to them that Jesus had risen in Matthew 28, 5 through 8. When she turned, she saw Jesus standing, but did not recognize him. In verse 15 of John 20, we read, Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus asked the same question presented by the angels. Woman, why weepest thou? Supposing Jesus to be the gardener. She replied, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I'll take him away. In her love and devotion, she offered to bear away the body of Jesus with the additional weight of the 100 pounds of spices wrapped in the clothes about it. Love knows no burdens. And then we read in John 20 and verse 16, Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and said unto him in Hebrew, Rabboni, which is to say, teacher. Jesus said unto her, Mary. He no doubt spoke her name with tenderness, sympathy, and emphasis in his natural voice, so as to convince her at once that the desired body of her master stood before her alive. She had heard that voice too often to be mistaken, and at once cried out, Rabboni, that is to say, teacher. And now we read the account how Mary Magdalene was the first one sent to carry the news of Jesus' resurrection. We read in John 20 and verse 17, Jesus said unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended unto the Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and to your Father, and to my God and to your God. As the other women in Matthew 28:9, who, in their highest adoration, prostrated themselves before him and held him by his feet and worshipped him, it seems that she, in her great joy and deep emotion, would do the same thing. But he said, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended unto the Father. This seems to mean that she would have had other opportunities of seeing him and being with him, since he would not immediately ascend to the Father. But now she should hasten to tell his brethren that he was risen, and would after a short time ascend to his Father and their Father, to his God and their God. It was not that it was wrong to touch him, for the other women took hold of his feet. And Jesus would later invite Thomas to touch him in John chapter 20 and verse 27. To Mary is granted the high privilege of carrying the news of his resurrection to his disciples. In this way, or in every way directed by the word of God, women should yet tell the story of Jesus and his love, but in no way should they violate any portion of God's word. There are certain restrictions that God himself has placed on what women should do in public assemblies. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, beginning in verse 34, really the last of verse 33, where Paul wrote, As in all the churches of the saints, let the women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but let them be in subjection, as also saith the law. And if they would learn anything, let them ask their own husbands at home. For it is shameful for a woman to speak in the church. What? Was it from you that the word of God went forth? Or came it unto you alone? If any man thinketh himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him take knowledge of the things which are right unto you, that they are the commandment of the Lord. But if any man is ignorant, let him be ignorant. Wherefore, my brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy, and forbid not to speak in tongues, but let all things be done decently and in order. That is 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 34 through 40. We also read this later in the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 2, beginning in verse 8. And Paul writes here, I desire therefore that men pray in every place, lifting up holy hands without wrath and disputing. When Paul used the word man there in 1 Timothy chapter 8, it's not the general word for mankind. He's talking about the males. I will therefore that the men, the masculine ones, pray in every place. But then he says in verse 9, in like manner that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shame of facetiousness and sobriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly raiment, which becometh women professing godliness through good works. Let a woman learn in quietness with all subjection. But I permit not a woman to teach, nor to have dominion over a man, but to be in quietness. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not beguiled, but the woman being beguiled hath fallen into transgression. But she shall be saved through her childbearing, if they continue in faith and love and sanctification with sobriety. These restrictions on women taking public roles in the worship of the Lord and leading that worship is not a restriction of them of doing the good works or of telling others about Jesus outside of that formal worship setting. There's a great difference between teaching privately in a woman's God's appointed sphere and publicly addressing a promiscuous assembly. God never appointed any woman as an apostle, an elder, or an evangelist. Jesus called his disciples brethren. If we are Christians, he is our brother also, and God is our Father. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father who is in heaven, he is my brother and my sister and my mother. Matthew 12 and verse 50. John chapter 20, 18 tells us that Mary went and told the disciples, healed of infirmities and of evil spirits, exalted and blessed by the Son of God. Women followed him and administered to his wants while on earth. A tearful, sympathizing band, they watched him die and linger last around the cross. They followed his body to the grave and sat in silence while it was laid away. They were first to see the open tomb, the first to hear the wonderful story of the resurrection as told by the angel of God. While Mary was first to see the Lord, and they were first to proclaim the facts to others. Great is their faith and love, and great is the honor with which God has crowned them. Now that brings the lesson to a close, except for this note right at the end of some questions concerning that. And it reminds us again of the golden text for this Sunday school lesson. The golden text says, our souls have waited upon Jehovah. To wait upon Jehovah is to do all that he commands to be done, to go where he says go, to stand where he says stand. All in the face of death are blessings of life, and to implicitly trust him for results. We read in the 27th Psalm, verses 13 and 14, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of Jehovah in the land of the living. Wait for Jehovah, be strong, and let thy heart take courage. Yea, wait thou for Jehovah. And with that, this Sunday school lesson comes to a close. And I turn the page, and I see that the next great women of the New Testament that we are going to study are Mary and Martha. Now, this is a different Mary than Mary Magdalene. Mary and Martha were sisters, and both of them were sisters to that man Lazarus, whom Jesus would raise from the dead. In our lesson text for that lesson, it comes from the book of Luke. I'll begin reading in Luke chapter 10 and verse 38, where it says, as they went on their way, he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at the Lord's feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving. And she came up to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister did leave me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. But the Lord answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. For Mary hath chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. And then we read in Mark chapter 14, and I'll begin this reading. Well, I don't have long. I'll end that. Take your Bibles, if you will, and mark them to Mark chapter 14. I'm going to begin reading in our next class session, beginning in verse 3. as we study Mary and Martha.